everyone, and welcome to the Ocean View podcast, or as Ellie calls it,
Chips.
I'm your host, Milo, and we're here to dive into our upcoming festival, Between the Tides. Me and my co-host, Ellie, are here due to our youth group partnering with Between the Tides, since they've asked for young people's insights. We are joined by our guests, Holly Glover, the Senior Festival and Events Officer, and Daniel Mitchelson, the Creative Programmes Officer. Anything our guests would like to add before we start?
So I'm Daniel, I'm the Creative Programmes Officer and work for Red Crown Cleveland Council. I am involved in Between the Tides Festival, which I guess we'll talk about in a bit.
So I'm Holly, I am the Senior Festival and Events Officer, so that means anything that happens outdoors, I look after.
First of all, what's Between the Tides?
Between the Tides Festival is a free family festival that happens here in Redcar. It happens at the end of August, and this year it's going to be on the 23rd and the 24th of August, but there are activities leading up to it. And it's a festival of kind of messiness and imagination and play. It's full of, there is outdoor theatre stuff, there is dance, there's live music, and there's food. There's opportunities to sort of do like free play, like den building and kind of activities like that. So it all happens at Cuckleatham Museum. It's the third Between the Tides Festival, and it came about, we had a bit of a look around at what was already happening in Redcar, what was happening elsewhere in the Tees Valley, and we thought about where there might be a gap. And we thought there was a bit of a gap in sort of children's festivals. Certainly children's festivals that have some like theatre and dance and arts and culture kind of at the heart of it. And then we talked to loads of people, including young people at 25K, and it tuned in, and talked to parents through the family hubs, and everyone seemed to think that it was a good idea. So yeah, we kind of did it the first one 3 years ago, and it went really well, right? It was a success. And so yeah, this is the third time we've brought it back, and we're hoping it'll be here for a while yet. So,
what are some activities that are expected to be there?
This year we have everything from circus, like street circus shows. So we've got Tape That by Hands Down. So the show is about two performers and a roll of tape. But there's loads of acrobats and juggling. I promise it's really good. But they're coming from Ireland, so it's our first international show for Between the Tides. We've also got things like Choo Choo, which is an early years show. So that's kind of based for those like under seven. And Train Enthusiasts. So it's about a train journey through India, but done through dance by a company called Bija. We've also got things like Tit for Tat, who were with us for our very first Between the Tides Festival. So it's really great news that they want to come back and join us again. And their piece is called Now I Become Deaf, Destroyer of Words, which is another really cool circus-esque piece, which involves fire. We've also got Ella Mesmer, which is like a dance company. So they'll do some aerial work. So they've got a show called Rainbow Butterfly, which is about transformation, and involves like some aerial hoops and spinning around in the air. But then after the show, there's a bit of a stage play, so they will show you how to use like the aerial hoop, and we'll do some workshops there. We've also commissioned work this year. So by commissioning, it means we go, oh, there's a gap in the show programme, or there's a gap in the market there, so we're going to create something. So we have created, in partnership with a Tees Valley based organisation, Curious Art, a show called The Caterpillar and the Turkey, about two unlikely friends. And we've also been working with a company called Society of Strays and commissioned a piece called No Plan B. So when we've spoken to children and young people at schools and rainbows and brownie groups, there's lots of themes to do with environment that come up. So this is a show that looks at the environment and how we can protect the planet and save the bees through opera and hip-hop dance. There's also The Stage, which has got David Gibb on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard about David Gibb, but he's like a children's musician. So he is like of our generation, like the Dick and Dom kind of situation. We will also be, this might be something more for the grown-ups and the young at heart, as well as the young. We are going to do something on the Sunday to end the festival called the Big Bubble Bash, which is a giant foam party where we will be working with some DJs who will be remixing theme tunes from children's TV shows. So think like dubstep, Andy Pandy and Cha-Cha-Cha, Charlie and Lola. We are quite excited about this, or I personally am very excited about this. And then to top it off, we've done loads of work with children and young people, and we've been creating things like a new character, which will be at Between the Tides Festival, Lady Lemon Top. So we worked with children and young people from the 25K Centre who did some excellent costume designs that then we give to a local costume designer, Kim from Green and Lavelle, who then has taken those designs away and created a costume for Lady Lemontop, who will be at the festival. So make sure you catch her, because she's pretty impressive. And then we've also been working with the young people to create silent disco mixtapes. There's a bit of like a nature theme and quite a bit of a music theme this year that's happened subconsciously. So the festival usually takes place in Redcar Town Centre and High Street and on the beach area. But due to the redevelopment of the High Street, we've picked the festival up and put it in Kirkleatham. So even before that kind of happened, we were kind of thinking along like that nature theme. So then we've ended up with a silent disco in a forest and den building, but we've also got shows that have got a bit of an animal theme, so it is quite exciting. And then because we are moving the festival, we will be doing a range of pop-up activities, so a bit of a fringe festival in the run-up. So starting from the 15th of August, we'll be popping up in areas across Redcar and Cleveland. So we'll be doing things like storytelling with Lady Lemontop in Loftus, or bringing the Giant's Picnic to a family hub in Skelton. So that's where children can get inside sandwiches. So yeah, it's like a big giant picnic and it's a great place to go. So there's loads going on. And then we'll also be doing a summer school. So we'll be working with a company called Raggle Taggle Arts, which will also be at the festival. And the idea is the children and young people who take part in the summer school will create a show in a week. And that'll kind of be a bit of a festival launch that'll be showed on the Friday before the festival.
What time does the event start and end? What day is it and where is it?
So the main body of the festival at Kirkleatham Museum takes place on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th of August. It lasts from 10 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening. So there's activity on all day. So Holly was saying earlier, there's kind of a range of like fringe type events that are happening kind of in the week leading up to the festival. So from Friday the 15th all the way through to the day before the festival, there's these kind of like fringe events that are happening all over the borough.
And then we've also got the Luminarium, which will be back again at Kirkleatham. So that kicks off on Thursday the 21st of August and runs all the way through to the Sunday. So that's the giant inflatable light and colour installation.
This next one may be a little bit cheeky, but what was the budget?
So the total budget of the festival is around £150,000. But there's a few things to say about that, I guess. So that total amount of money, it comes from loads of different pots. We are paying some of it, as in Redcar Cleveland Council are paying some of it. A big chunk of money we got from the Arts Council. So the Arts Council are like the government arm that looks after sort of arts and culture in the country. So you can make applications to them all year round. And we applied to them for a chunk of money to help us make the festival a reality. So a really big chunk of money came from the Arts Council. But we also got pots of money from places like Without Walls, who give us a little chunk of money, didn't they, in order to sort of make some bits happen.
So yeah, we do quite a lot of fundraising in terms of putting those applications into places like Arts Council, so we can keep the festival free for the public to go to, basically. So we try and keep everything as low cost as possible. If there is a small fee, such as for the Luminarium, so that's subsidised by Arts Council funding to make that happen as well.
Exactly that. So everything to do with the festival comes out of that pot of money. So that includes the fees for the artists. It includes if they're travelling from Ireland, right? And they might need some help getting here from Ireland. It includes things like making the print and the marketing and all of that kind of stuff you might see kind of advertising the festival. But it also includes things like bringing in portaloos and toilets. It includes fencing to stop people wandering onto a road and things like that.
Yeah, medics, road closures, everything like that. All kind of... adds up.
So you said there was a price for the Luminarium. How much is it?
So there's varying different prices. So it's £3.50 if you were a child, or if you're from Redcar and Cleveland, so we subsidise that for local residents. And then if you're from out of the area, it is £5. But there's also different free ticket options for people like carers and things like that. So yeah, it's quite a nice one. The Luminarium itself is like this beautiful, I want to say a maze, but maybe that's not quite the right word. But you go inside and so it's all like different colours as you go into different segments. But they say it's like a giant art installation. So some people go in there and lay down and meditate. So it's not really like, you don't really plan it, but it's more like you get to your imagination working. It's quite like a mindful experience, I guess you could say. So with the Luminarium, you can pre-book tickets online by the Between the Tides website. So you've got your tickets in advance, but also they're sold out pretty quickly. So if you turn up on the day, there will be tickets available to purchase at the festival as well.
What inspired you to get involved with Between the Tides?
Oh, that is a good question.
That's a good question.
You know, Between the Tides is quite an exciting festival to be involved in. And I think there's something about, you know, when you see something really cool and you want to go and tell all your friends and show your friends, it's that kind of thing going, I spotted this really cool show, let's bring it to Redcar.
Yeah, that's really good. I think I definitely feel the same. There's probably some like professional arty stuff as well, I guess.
Yes.
Like I think the good that arts and creativity can do,
yeah.
I think it makes a difference to people's lives, right? In the sense that if you sort of see a theatre show or you take part in a workshop or you kind of have a dance or a rave, like you feel better. Like physically, you know, there's changes to your heart rate and there's changes to your mood and all that stuff. And sort of psychologically and emotionally, like it's a good thing to do. So I think for all of us, having Between the Tides as a free festival that sort of children and young people and their grown-ups can take part in as families feels like it's really making a difference to the place and feels like
yeah.
it's really making a difference to people. There's so many people tell us, you know, what good of a time they had at the festival afterwards, which is really great and really lovely to hear. But I think really we're seeing it, right? Seeing people come back every year and it is making a difference. And I think that's really... Yeah, I'm really proud to be taking
yeah.
part in it.
There's something about that showcasing opportunities here in Redcar and Cleveland as well. Like, if you wanted to be an artist or an actor or a dancer or even a tech or a musician, you don't need to go to London. Like, there is opportunities on your doorstep.
Are there any more events or festivals coming up?
There's loads going on, actually. So we, as an events team here with Redcar and Cleveland Borough Council, we do a range of events across the whole borough. So we do everything from the Redcar Kite Festival to Christmas Light Switch-Ons to Saltburn Ice Trail, as well as Between the Tides and everything in between. So we do the outdoor theatre at Kirkleatham. So that's when you'll see Odd Socks doing some Shakespeare or Illyria doing some Pride and Prejudice at the moment. But we also help other external event organisers do things. So that could be like we'll work with Saltburn Food Festival or the Folk Festival, or when Gisborough have their reindeer parade, we'll get involved with those. So there is absolutely loads going on. So the Folk Festival have been working with, again, children and young people from across East Cleveland. So some of them will have the opportunity to perform at a major music festival and then perform again at Between the Tides on a stage in front of lots and lots of people, which is pretty exciting. But as soon as we kind of wrap on Between the Tides, we move straight into Christmas. So Christmas kind of starts for us pretty much from now. We're thinking about ice
yeah.
as well. So alongside Between the Tides, we're also going, how do we turn the lights on? What are we going to do there? What parades are happening? Which ice sculptures should we have in Saltburn? Which seems a bit silly when everyone's eating ice cream and playing on the beach that we're thinking about snow. But yeah, our brains are constantly, the cogs are turning.
So who helped with the planning?
Probably hundreds of people involved. Yeah, from the young people and also things like schools. We go mm-hmm. into many schools. So even like this week, we've had Raggle Taggle Arts teaching children in East Cleveland how to play the spoons in preparation for the festival, because why not? But yeah, there's a massive team of freelancers. So these are mostly in the creative industries, actually. So people who come and work at different festivals and events. So there's everything from production managers, so they're the people who will come and help put up the fencing, and they will help us put the power in for the food traders and things like that. But there's zone managers, so these are the people who will come and look after different areas within the festival. But then there are also artists who will come and run a workshop. There are dancers who will be in shows. There is also traders, so these are the people who make amazing cakes that are local and go, right, this is my business, let's showcase it off to the lovely people of Redcar and Cleveland. So these are kind of people who do ad hoc jobs with us. But then we've got regular freelancers, so we have a marketing coordinator, so they will come in, kind of work with us a few days a week to pull together the marketing and audience development plans, and a designer which we'll work with to follow our brand guidelines, all of our posters and things all look the same. And then we just work with loads of other services. So that's everything from security companies to cleansing, so that's collecting the bins and the recycling during the event. The countryside team to come and look after the wildlife and things and make sure that the woodland area is tidy. Medics, sound technicians, Kirkleatham Museum, Kirkleatham Rock Garden. There's absolutely loads of people involved. But it's quite exciting in terms of like working on the festival, because you're pretty much meeting somebody new or working with a different person every time you pick up a form, or you go to a different meeting to talk about a different element of the festival. So there's lots of different moving parts and lots of different people involved.
Holly, you're the Senior Festival and Events Officer, so what is that?
For this festival, it kind of means I'm a little bit like, you know, like a conductor of an orchestra. So I pull together many, many moving parts to make it happen. So I will sit down with like the team probably a few weeks after the festival, and we'll start thinking, well, I say to be fair, we'll start seeing shows now for next year, but after the festival we'll come together and we'll kind of go, what went well, what could we change, what shows do you think people would like, what themes could we start chatting to people about, and then from there it just is like an explosion of creativity. So I get to do all the nice things about seeing shows and commissioning shows and listening to music and doing all lovely things there, but it also means I have to look at all of the health and safety and production side of things. So that means I have to write event management plans and risk assessments and order fencing and do calculations about how many toilets we need and engage with medics. So there's lots of lovely glamorous parts, but also a lot less so. But it also means I get to work with my Dan and the other amazing people in the team and kind of allocate people tasks to do. So I get to be a little bit bossy every now and then. So I can say on the day of the festival, it means I will sit in somewhere called event control. So I can kind of go, right, that's happening over there. That needs to happen now. That show's on. Right, tell me how many people were at that show. It's kind of the control hub of the whole festival. So I think that's kind of where the conductor thing comes in. There's lots of conducting beforehand. And then on the day, it's that crescendo of, right, this is go time.
Holly's the Senior Festival Events Officer. And Daniel, what does the Creative Programmes Officer do?
So yeah, I guess I do a range of different things. It's one of these kind of wobbly jobs, I guess, where I do lots of little bits about where I'm needed. Ultimately, the bits that I'm sort of most responsible for, I guess, are to do with some of the programmes leading into the festival. So we talked earlier about Raggle Taggle and the summer school. So I'm taking a role in making sure that all goes really smoothly, that kind of element leads into it. So that's about talking to the artists and making sure they have what they need, making sure that we have what we need, kind of matching everything up. And then there is bits, the parents' guides, so I take a role in writing those, sort of making sure that they're kind of what have been asked for by the parents and so on. And then really it's about Holly being bossy, because it is often that, as much as we can plan, and we really do plan about what everything needs to happen, but things always come up, right? It's always about being responsive. So it's about filling in the gaps where it's needed to make sure that we get everything managed. And on the days of the festival, I will probably be one of Holly's zone managers. I don't know where I'll be stood yet, but I'll probably be responsible for like a chunk of space at the festival to make sure that the shows go up when they're supposed to go up, to make sure that everyone's safe and looked after. And again, being
like artist liaison as well, isn't it? It's like looking after the performers, making sure they have what they need, that they do what they're told.
But it's good. It's often really varied job, but that's what makes it so, that's what makes it so fun.
No day is ever the same.
No.
Can you tell us how you market the festival?
Yes-ish. So we have a marketing officer who comes and visits us one day a week, or maybe many days a week in the run-up to the festival. So the lovely Carmel Ramsey kind of coordinates everything for us. So that's liaising with designers to create the programme or the posters, which you'll see in libraries or in the local shops advertising the festival. But Carmel kind of starts the process by working with us, the events team, to create an audience development plan. So that's kind of where we reflect on where our audience come from, where we want them to come from. So maybe we haven't had anybody from Newcastle before, so we could target there. But kind of we do lots of local in-depth audience development. So that is things like where we come and see you guys in the 25K Centre. But we also go and do things out in the community. So we will maybe go and do some storytelling sessions in one of the libraries, and we'll tell people about the festival. So there's kind of like more in-depth, more interesting marketing. But there's also quite traditional things where we'll have flyers and posters. And you might see something on the bus that says Between the Tides Festival. But we also have like the digital marketing, so where we try and limit our environmental impact, I'll say, rather than having loads and loads of print, we will look at things like our socials, or, you know, when you're going down the side of the road and there'll be a big sign that says pick your litter up or road closure in place. We might take over some of those signs that say Between the Tides Festival coming soon. So kind of that message is there. Remember, the festivals are on these dates. I think it's quite nice marketing with this festival because we actually get to speak to people and engage with them rather than just popping a leaflet through the door. I have a question for you two, if that's all right. I want to know, what are you guys looking forward to at the festival?
So, but I'm just looking forward to like being there and having a look around because I've not been before personally.
Yeah.
So it'll be my first time going.
I'm looking forward to, like, same as Ellie, seeing what's there. But you mentioned to me personally about how there's like an oak tree, fairy tree thing. Last year I went to the whale and enjoyed it that much that I went twice. One with one friend, one with another friend. And it was so interactive, so fun. And you said it's kind of like that? Like,
yeah.
Same people?
Yeah, so it's called the Oakmobile by Talking Birds Theatre. So you kind of go inside and it's like a magical metal oak house, if that's even a thing. So yeah, they tell some cool stories, but they're quite funny and they're really lovely as well. No, they're some very good answers. Dan, is there anything you're excited for about this year's festival? Or a show that you'd say, this is a good one to go see?
That's a really good question. I'm looking forward to seeing Alla Mesmer. I have seen their work before and I really, really like it. So I'm really pleased that they're coming. I don't think they've ever been a Red Car before, so I'm really pleased that they're coming and we'll see that. And this is maybe a little bit selfish, but I'm really looking forward to the Silent Disco stuff. And it feels like I'm pandering to you because you guys helped us to design that. But I remember watching it happen last year. So last year we did it on the beach, this year we're doing it in the forest. But it looks really surreal from the outside. It's like everyone's dancing to a slightly different tune because everyone's listening to a totally different thing. So watching it from the outside looks really funny. But clearly people love it. It's such a good, fun thing. And depending on the playlist you choose, it could be like, yeah, you're getting sort of 90s rock music, or you could be getting some Eurovision from 1970s or something. But it's a really lovely thing to sort of look at and see happen, and also totally changes the vibe depending on who's there, right? You see some people like lying down and listening to the music, and you see some people having a rave. So I'm looking forward to listening to it myself, but I'm actually looking forward to watching other people do it because I think it's fun. So, what about you?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I've asked everybody else and I should have prepared an answer. No, I quite like, you know, when you see people doing things together, if it's like a family or grandparents and grandchildren or friends going in the whale multiple times to hear a story. I think it's that thing about people enjoying things together. And there's quite a lot this year to do together. So it could be building a den or seeing a show or dancing at a disco or making an animal mask. Yeah, there's quite a lot of opportunities for that togetherness, which is quite nice, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure having you on. As a reminder, Between the Tides is on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th of August at 10 until 5. Thank you. Goodbye.